Hello, everyone. This is Gabriela Mino, and in today's podcast, I will be talking about Barbara Smith. A renowned Black feminist, an influential leader in the emergence of Black women's studies, and a major figure in the queer rights movement, Barbara Smith has dedicated her life's work to combat the challenges that came with her identity and people who shared that same identity and other marginalized populations in activist groups. As a queer Black woman, Barbara has written essays and books to educate people about the intersectionality of Blackness, queerness, and class. As an organizer, writer, professor, and former elected official, Smith has exhibited her progressive activism that addresses classism, sexism, racism, and homophobia. Her feminist works were and are instrumental to Black feminist studies, which goes in hand with queer studies since her feminism does not exclude sexuality and identity beyond race. It is important to note that her activism revolves around intersectionality and bringing voice to people who cannot fit in movements fighting for justice, since such movements unfortunately tend to exclude certain individuals due to fear of failing to advance their own agenda. We have seen this before in history, where in women's suffrage, it was white women leading that cause and Black women were excluded because gender and race could not mix in that time because it was a taboo. Black women were not even seen as women. They weren't seen as human. So putting Black women in the conversation of women's suffrage was not going to help the white woman cause. And that is why it took such a long time for Black women to be able to have the right to vote. And this is just one instance. So mixing race and gender and sexuality, that is something that a lot of movements did not want to mix in with their cause, because that would have complicated their agenda and would have excluded them from any form of national conversation. So Barbara Smith is a really good leader where she knows that this is a problem that society tends to do, that movements that work to help people, to get them to have rights, they fail to do what they are there to do for people who have these other identities that they have to hide in order to just advance a certain type of issue, because not all issues can be brought about in the national stage at the same time. Therefore, in the emergence of her expressing her feminism, she is very adamant about the fact that many movements were just not recognizing gender equality. They were failing to acknowledge women's struggles, since they believed that adopting a pro-gender equality stance was diverting the essence of their cause. Look at the Black Panther Party. They never threw in the fact that gender was a big part of their movement when women were mobilizing people. Women were the backbone of that movement. So today we will explore how Barbara Smith combats sexuality, gender, and racism in her feminist works, and how she values the importance of making sure that these topics are intertwined and part of her feminist definition. She is very, very vocal about how she doesn't want to exclude people, because her being queer, she has experienced that exclusivity, not being a part of a movement just because of a certain identity that she also holds. I will be touching upon some background information as well as her feminist works. I think her feminist works are amazing and very inspirational and influential. So I definitely will be talking about her feminist works and how they were able to mobilize other women and educate the public, the national public, how people like her exist. She was giving herself a voice, but most importantly, other women, Black women, the voice, queer women, the voice that was just not being heard and was being silenced by other people, especially Black men. And I will explore how Black men and just the Black community was very exclusive to people like her and how she combated that through her literature. Living during America's Jim Crow era, Smith was an activist at an early age. Activism was always part of her life because she experienced the sexism, racism, and homophobia that persisted that era, which obviously, by the way, still exists today. From the time she was a high school student, Smith joined boycotts, marches, protests, and civil rights demonstrations in Cleveland, where she resided. Attending Mount Holyoke College, she was amongst the few black women in her class of almost 400 students. I believe she was one out of two dozen black women students in her class. As an editor for the National Observer, a Dow Jones newspaper outside of Washington, D.C., she was amongst very few women and the only black employee. So that was a very uncomfortable job situation that she was working in, and she left because who is not going to be comfortable where one cannot see someone who looks like themselves? So leaving this uncomfortable job, she taught courses on black women's writers and women's studies at Emerson College and other colleges. So that's where she found her niche, that's where she found her happiness, and she found what she really needed and wanted to do. With her English major background, she was able to teach a very valuable and important and unseen topic at these colleges. She was able to talk about black woman writers, writers who were often ignored in literature that was often tossed aside. So this was a very important step in her feminism, in her journey to establish her feminism and to establish what feminism is really about, other than just black women who identified as straight women, who did not see that there were other levels besides race and gender. Her effort to place black women's struggles in the national stage and provide a voice for black women and queer folks was done through written works. The power of her voice delivered on paper helped to stir conversation and provide a space for black women to express and resonate with their struggles. So now I'll be talking about one of her most famous feminist essays, an essay that caused a huge controversy where she talked about it on a stage and she really was able to see the black community's stance on what she was talking about and their perspective on her written work. Her feminist essay, Towards a Black Feminist Criticism, the reader witnesses Barbara Smith's acknowledgement of the value in writing about black feminism in the matter that her essay entails. At the start of this essay, we are aware that this essay is monumental and revolutionary, since using her words, this essay is, quote, something unprecedented, something dangerous merely by writing about black woman writers from a feminist perspective and about black lesbian writers from any perspective at all, end quote. In other words, this essay is a first of its kind, written in the 1970s. Barbara Smith is iconic for recognizing the importance of literature, and it shows through her career as a professor and her usage of literature to mobilize women and provide a platform for the black feminist movement. However, such mobilization cannot stop at literature, and literature alone is not going to provide a platform if such literature is not taken seriously and taken as an important part of society. An expert that perfectly explains what I am trying to say is on page 21, where she states, quote, in speaking about the current situation of black woman writers, it is important to remember feminist literature, criticism, and women's studies, which focused at the beginning almost entirely upon investigations of literature. The fact that a parallel black feminist movement has been much slower in evolving cannot help but have impact upon the situation of black woman writers and artists, and explains in part why during this very same period we have been so ignored. There is no political movement to give power or support to those who want to examine black women's experience through studying our history, literature, and culture. There is no political presence that demands a minimal level of consciousness and respect from those who write or talk about our lives. Finally, there is not a developed body of black feminist political theory whose assumptions could be used in the study of black women's art. When black women's books are dealt with at all, it is usually in the context of black literature, which largely ignores the implications of sexual politics. When white women look at black women's works, they are of course ill-equipped to deal with the subtleties of racial politics. a Black feminist approach to literature that embodies the realization that the politics of sex, as well as the politics of race and class, are crucially interlocking factors in the works of Black women writers, is an absolute necessity. Until a Black feminist criticism exists, we will not even know what these writers mean. End quote. When reading this expert, I automatically think about Toni Morrison. Toni Morrison, an amazing writer, rest in peace, has been criticized for her works because she only talks about Black people. The main characters are Black people, and she rarely ever has white characters. I specifically remember this interview that she did with this white woman interviewer where she literally was talking about how she was minimizing her talent by just talking about Black people and making books that only Black people can read, when that's exactly what she wanted to do. She wanted to make literature for Black people because she knew that there was not an extensive collection of books for Black people, written for Black people by Black people. So what Toni Morrison was doing was giving Black people a platform to read about experiences that they can resonate with. And the interviewer was just not getting that idea and was just completely just saying how her talent was going to waste just because she was not extending her talent to white people. So I think about how Barbara Smith really hits it on when she's talking about how Black woman literature is just not being taken seriously, and Black feminism in literature is therefore not being taken seriously. To present Black feminism becomes more challenging when Black feminism is attached to the intersectionality of queerness. Feminism, in Barbara Smith's view, does not exclude people of marginalized groups, meaning that queer Black women were part of her feminism. Being a queer individual herself, Barbara Smith notably addresses how Black women are already ignored and minimized in literature, but queer Black women to the public are non-existent. Now, I want to get to the clip where she talks about her experience talking about this essay and how she is basically not accepted by the Black community because of this essay.
In 1977, I wrote an essay toward a Black feminist criticism that was published in the second issue of the lesbian feminist literary magazine Conditions. My intention in writing the essay was to define Black women's literature as a legitimate field of study, to make a case for analyzing Black women's writing from a Black feminist perspective, and to assert that Black lesbian writing was a legitimate part of the African American literary tradition. There was no previously published work that encompassed all three of these objectives. There was no work at all that explicitly argued for using a Black feminist approach to literary criticism, or that acknowledged that Black lesbian writers exist and contribute positively to the culture. Toward a Black feminist criticism made a great deal of impact upon the just developing field of women's studies. It eventually had impact upon Black studies. It also reached and was meaningful to many people outside of the academy, especially Black feminists, Black lesbians, and other women of color. In early 1978, I received an invitation to be on a panel about Black women writers at the annual National Conference of Afro-American Writers held at Howard University. It was the first time that the conference included a panel focused upon Black women. I was pleased to be invited, but I was also quite wary because I had been asked to participate because of my essay toward a Black feminist criticism. I knew I would be reading excerpts from it, and I was concerned about negative reactions from a predominantly Black audience. To protect myself, I suggested that they invite other Black feminists to be on the panel, but they did not follow through on my suggestion. It was a beautiful spring morning in Crampton Auditorium, which holds about 500 people, was packed. I read from my essay with some additional material I had written specifically for a black audience. As soon as the question and answer period started, the attacks began. The first person to speak was Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, a well-known psychiatrist who held extreme black nationalist views. Dr. Welsing asserted during a much longer comment, quote, "If we endorse, and when I say this, please, anybody, bisexual or homosexual, do not take offense. I embrace you also because you have established your position. But if we endorse homosexuality, then we have endorsed the death of our people." End quote.
Hearing this part of this speech is bizarre and insane. How people were not, they were just brutal in the manner that they were addressing her, in the manner that they were addressing her feminism and her identity and other people's identity. Where, as I said before, fighting one person's struggles was much more important, and it was at a cost of other person's identities and struggles. And this is what is showing in this speech. You know, her being queer and her being a woman was not important. It just wasn't. It should have not been in the conversation in the eyes of these people. And this is something that she talks about in one of her works called "But Some of Us Are Brave: Black Woman Studies." We read this in class, where she talks about the Black Panthers and how she was very disappointed. And she says, quote, "It was our experience and disillusionment with these liberation movements, as well as experience on the periphery of the white male left, that led to the need to develop a politics that was anti-racist, unlike those of white women, and anti-sexist, unlike those of black and white men." Meaning everyone was against them. Everyone was against black women, against queer black women. And she is very vocal about this, as to how even her own community was against her, because according to that person, they were the death of their people. As a leader of the Come By He Collective, in this black feminist statement, she talks about how her feminist group was developing a feminist definition, since it was combining an anti-racist and anti-sexist position, because everyone was against them, as I have just said and explained. They were developing politically and addressing themselves to the heterosexism and economic oppression under capitalism, which is exactly from page 15. Another thing that I read in this piece was that she knew that feminism was very threatening to the majority of blacks, since it was just putting other identities in the question of racism, the question of race, and the question of where black people stand in America. So gender being part of that conversation was just gonna be the downfall of that cause. And so even in a black nationalist pamphlet, which I am very concerned as to why such a thing was being published, because what I'm about to read is just very insane, and I feel like against what black nationalism should be. Black nationalism should not be putting gender in the back front, when we clearly know that before colonialism, families were being led by women, and there was a matriarchal system in Africa. However, in this expert, a patriarchal agenda persisted, and the black nationalist movement failed to adopt gender issues in their cause. Quote, "Equality of men and women is something that cannot happen even in the abstract world. Men are not equal to other men. The value of men and women can be seen as in the value of gold and silver. They are not equal, but both have great value." Here we can see the true intentions of the black nationalist movement and how they perceive women. they are seen as inferior. Even though they claim that they are valuable, we clearly can see that there's a hierarchy system where men are higher on top and women remain at the bottom. So here we can see that Black men are obviously taking part in this patriarchal system that has always persisted in America, and giving no power to Black women and giving them no voice. To end off, I would like to say that Barbara Smith is an icon, a queer Black woman that knows the importance of addressing marginalized people within marginalized groups. Thank you for tuning in.